I'm Sheila Cast. A couple of hours ago, in a stunning announcement, Baltimore Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake said she will not seek re-election. At a press conference at City Hall, she said, quote, "I have chosen to govern and not campaign," close quote. The mayor's image has been battered by the events of the past 5 months. The death in police custody of Freddie Gray, April's rioting, the call-up of the National Guard, a citywide curfew, and the surge in violent crime that followed all that. Earlier this week, the mayor proposed and the city authorized a $6.4 million settlement to the family of Freddie Gray. Today, in the first hour of midday, reaction to the mayor's decision. Are you surprised? Would you have supported her if she had run for re-election? Open phones on Midday Friday, after the news from NPR. Good afternoon. I'm Sheila Cass, sitting in for Dan Rodericks, and this is Midday. Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake, the city's 49th mayor, the newly elected president of the U.S. Conference of Mayors, announced this morning at City Hall that she would not seek re-election. It was a surprise in spite of all the troubles of the past year in Baltimore, including the death of Freddie Gray in police custody, rioting and looting in the city, the curfew and the call-up of the National Guard, and the surge in homicides and violent crime since then. Nevertheless, until today, all the indicators pointed to the mayor running for a second term. She had scheduled a political fundraiser this month at the Hippodrome Theater. Join our conversation about this. Call us at 410-662-8780 or send us an email at midday@wypr.org. Today, in the first hour of Midday, we'll discuss some of the factors that led to Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake's decision. Did she fall on her sword? As she stated about former Police Commissioner Anthony Batts, whom she fired in July, does she think the city lost confidence in her leadership? What do you think? We want to hear from you, our listeners. Will a new leader be able to bring the city's problems with violent crime under control? Can business owners, hurt by the riots and the tainted city image, begin to thrive again under new leadership? We want to hear your thoughts. 410-662-8780 or midday@wypr.org. Kenneth Burns of the WYPR reporting staff covered the mayor's press conference this morning. He's here with us. Kenny, when was the press conference called, for starters?
It was called at 8 o'clock this morning. So everyone literally had a couple of hours to get downtown to City Hall. Once the conference got underway, she started talking about how she was planning for this re-election bid. She was getting offices started. She was meeting with her staff. However, she had this nagging feeling of whether should I be planning a re-election or should I concentrate on governing the city for the next 15 months? And she said that was really her decision with all of the events that have taken place with the upcoming Freddie Gray trials. Among other issues, including police accountability, which i.e. the federal pattern or practice of review.
WIPR senior news analyst Fraser Smith is also here with us in Studio A. Thanks for being here.
Good to be with you.
What was your reaction when you heard the news this morning?
Well, I think a lot of us who've been talking about this amongst ourselves, as they say, were not entirely surprised by it, because there are some poll numbers that show that she's running pretty significantly behind at least one of the people that want to challenge her. But, you know, Sheila, I think what we're looking at here up close and personal once again is the difficulty of running a major city like Baltimore. I mean, so many things happen to you, and you really are inundated. You really can't turn around without some other crisis coming along. And I think over a period of time, I think people had begun to realize that she was pretty stressed, and maybe never really quite got her mayoral feet under her, even though she's been there for 4 years. I think the Kurt Schmoke said he learned later in his term that mayor was a verb, and I'm not sure she ever really picked that up.
Mayor so is a verb.
You have to be in front of people all the time. You have to be communicating
it's
with
action.
People. And you need to be showing them all the time that it's a dynamic administration that you're running.
Let me introduce Barry Raskovar, political commentator and blogger for the site Political Maryland. Welcome back to the show. You're nodding your head as Frazier's speaking.
Absolutely. It's interesting, Sheila. The first thing that came to mind when I heard that the mayor was not going to run for a second term was that we've seen this before. This is deja vu all over again. After the death of Dr. Martin Luther King, we had the street riots in Baltimore, much more severe than what we had this time.
Much more. But the
incumbent mayor at that time, Tommy D'Alessandro Jr., essentially burned out as a result of the stress that was put on him from the rioting and then the aftermath, and announced that he was not going to run for reelection, even though he was a shoo-in for reelection for as many terms as he wanted, coming out of the D'Alessandro family as he did. But he decided not to run again, and has not re-entered the political arena since then. And he too stepped aside at a young age. He had his whole political career in front of him, so you know it didn't come as a total shock. But from my standpoint, what's interesting now is this shakes up the entire landscape for the upcoming mayoral election.
And, right, it really does.
Yes.
And I want to get to that in a bit, but we already have quite a few callers who want to be part of this conversation. Let's go to Tim in Fort Meade. Tim, welcome to Midday.
Hey, how you doing? Listen, I'm here south of Baltimore, but I can tell you up front, it was evident to us as we watched the events occur in Baltimore that Ms. Rawlins-Blake was in, quite frankly, in over her head. She did not exude any leadership. There was not an aura of leadership. She was in a reactive mode the entire time. I point to one time where she said, "We'll give them room to destroy." She was called out on it by one of the news services. I think it was one of the cable network news services. Then said, "No, I never said that." Of course, the cable news service then plays the comment that she made at that press conference. And, you know, congratulations to her for having the courage to acknowledge her her shortcomings and to focus on governing in the present as opposed to running for reelection, because I tell you, the leadership was just not in place during this time. They quite frankly demanded it by all the citizens there in Baltimore.
I appreciate your call, Tim. I think we'll get a different view from eBay, who's calling from Baltimore. Am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Yes.
Welcome to Midday. What is your thought about the mayor's announcement that she'll not run again?
Well, my thought about the mayor's not seeking re-election is simply that it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. I think the mayor was actually taking some good steps. Probably they weren't deep or fundamental enough, but at least some good steps in the right direction to help Baltimore, like lowering property taxes. That's a very good fundamental step that happened. But my main point is the way the structure of Baltimore is what is keeping the people in poverty. Poverty breeds all kinds of I don't know what to call it, antisocial behavior. So as long as the structure is the way it is, the city is going to keep getting worse, no matter who the mayor is.
So you're saying this announcement doesn't significantly change the outlook for the city?
Not change anything. Sheila Davis is probably going to run. The former teacher,
Sheila Dixon.
Sheila Dixon, I'm sorry. She's probably going to run. When she was here, did Baltimore get much better? I've been in this city for 10 years. I moved here from the south. Nothing is getting better.
Let me bounce that off our panelists here, Bea. I appreciate your call. Who wants to take that up? Is it really such a non-factor who is steering things from City Hall?
I would think that it's the opposite, that it matters enormously who the mayor is. In Baltimore City, you have a strong mayor form of government. So the person who sits in that seat has the ability to shake things up if he or she wants to. You know, Martin O'Malley, say what you want about him. As mayor, you know, he tried to shake things up. William Donald Schaefer tried to shake things up. Kurt Schmoke was more laid back. You didn't see as much of an attempt to change things. But, no, I would disagree with the caller on this.
Fraser, you have a column in the Daily Record today that sort of lays out what a mayor needs to do. It kind of picks up on your point that it's a verb.
Well, you need to be looking for talent all the time. You need to be on top of the talent you already have. You need to be recruiting the business community to take over things the city can't quite handle anymore. You need to be almost turning the city fathers into unofficial members of your cabinet. This is mayoring. This is the kind of thing that Schmoke was talking about. And I don't see much evidence that Ms. Rowling Blake ever did that.
And you think that makes a difference?
It absolutely makes a difference. I mean, when we had a renaissance in the city, it was because we had a chief executive who said, we're just as good as Atlanta. We're just as good as Cleveland. We're going to turn our city into a tourist mecca. People couldn't believe it. You know, this was a steel town. But he said, no, that's the past. We're moving forward.
I would remind our listeners, you can be part of this conversation. You can give us a call at 410-662-8780, or you can email us at midday@wypr.org. Beth Hawks has given us a call. Beth, you are a business owner?
Yes.
And your business is?
Iselda Zen in Fells Point.
And what point did you want to make about the mayor's announcement?
I truly do appreciate that all she's done for the city, but I am grateful that she has opted to step down because she has lost the respect of so many people. Businesses are decimated since April 27th. The reputation of Baltimore is devastated, and we need someone to get out there and promote business like they did in New Orleans after Katrina. They did after New York City did after 9/11. Boston did after the terrorist bombing. New Jersey did after Superstorm Sandy. Not once has Stephanie Rawlings Blake gone out into the public and promoted Baltimore City. Not just businesses. Our home values are plummeting. I mean, there are so many houses for sale. This is the best city, and the nicest people live here. People are scared, and now with the murder rate, more people are scared to come in. So I thank her for what she's done. I just pray that we get a great candidate to take over.
Oh, there's lots of candidates. We'll talk about that in a bit, Beth. I appreciate your call. Kenny Burns, you cover this administration.
Beth brings up a point, a point that I've heard from many residents when I talk to them about the mayor, in that Mayor Rawlings Blake hasn't really been the forefront cheerleader for the city compared with other mayors in the past that have been
mentioned. William Donald Schaefer is a high standard to me.
William Donald Schaefer is a very high standard, but you also have Kurt Schmoke was out in front promoting Baltimore. Martin O'Malley, the now former governor, he was also out cheerleading the city on with the Believe campaign. And you also had Sheila Dixon. And compared those three, excluding William Donald Schaefer, because, as you said, it was a high standard, compared to the current mayor, I had a sense that she was more about doing the job, not necessarily doing...
Not so much being seen as
right,
doing the job.
Right, not so much the handshaking, kissing babies, but she just wanted to solve the problem.
So she should be very happy in the role then that she's laid out for herself for the next 15 months. We're going to take a short break here. A good time for you to figure out what you'd like to add to this conversation and give us a call at 410-662-8780 or send us an email to midday@wypr.org. Barry Raskovar started to talk about who else might run. We'll talk about that when we get back. Stay with us.
Your multi-layer program. The what I would say is it's understandable that with the violence that was happening, you know, we took a dip. But like I said, you know, when I ran for city council president, nobody thought I would win. You know, polls said I were down, and I won. I haven't lost an election since middle school. I'm not that polls didn't matter to me. I have a track record. And I know that I have more money in the bank than anybody that's running against me. So I'm not. That wasn't a consideration.
Welcome back to Midday, everybody. I'm Sheila Cass, sitting in for Dan Rodericks. That you were just listening to Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake taking questions from the press this morning, saying that it was not the poll numbers. She did not deny that the poll numbers, whatever polls she has, she did not deny that they might not look good. She said that was not why she has made the decision not to run again. Barry Raskovar, what does this do to the race?
It turns it upside down in a number of ways. None of the candidates who are out there are scintillating performers. And it does leave this void, because say what you will about where Mayor Rawlings Blake is in the polls today. The election isn't until April, the primary election, which will be decisive. If you took the pulse of the city tomorrow, that's one thing that has nothing to do with what's going to transpire in April. Donald Trump would be president of the United States if people went to the polls today. We pretty well know that's not likely to happen. Mayor Rawlings Blake is still an incumbent, and if she had stayed in the race, she would have figured very prominently in the top two finishers, most likely. But now, I think the door is wide open for almost any name you can think of to jump in. The one that comes to mind now, I think the big question mark, is Elijah Cummings, the congressman, former Congressman Kwayesi Nfume. If either of those individuals hint at getting in the race, once again, it just turns everything upside down and sideways. And we're going to have all sorts of names thrown out there. And remember, all the names so far have been African-American names. What if there is a non-African-American who gets into the race? Councilman Jim Kraft, for instance, says he's retiring and is probably going to run for a judgeship. Well, this might change his thinking and he might jump into this race. You never know. It's almost wide open.
Frazier.
You know, Sheila, I think most politicians would say they don't care what the polls show, but they all look at the polls. And I think she certainly knew that based on the polling that I've heard is out there, she had a really difficult hill to climb. And then there was, sort of the folk evidence. People know, I think, by now that during the Freddie Gray funeral, Sheila Dixon, the former mayor who's running again, got a standing ovation, basically, and the mayor just got sort of tepid response. And so these kinds of things, particularly when you're faced with the really sort of grueling, if not wearying, job of dealing with the things that are in front of her, certainly the numbers had some impact, I think, on her decision. And in fact, I've heard that various people have been suggesting to her that she consider doing this. I think she didn't. She was rejecting it, but finally, she obviously decided that it was the better part of valor, as they say.
And Frazier, don't forget, she lost her longtime fundraiser earlier this year, back in June. So, and she said during the news conference that her fundraising arm is stronger than ever. But you also have to wonder, how difficult was it to at least get it to something where she could really make a run at it again?
Well, you'd never forget the power of incumbency. And so you would never count her out of a race. But she's now taken herself out of the race. So the question is, who's going to jump in? And right now, Baltimore City doesn't have any strong, charismatic political leadership. They have a bunch of individuals who are not well known throughout the city. So you can mention names, but Are they viable running citywide? Can they raise that type of money? The only one who's done it really has been Sheila Dixon.
I want to get involve some more of our callers in the discussion. People who called 410-662-8780, as you can do, 410-662-8780, or send us an email at midday@wypr.org. But first, since Sheila Dixon has been mentioned a couple of times, let me just – she put out a statement that said in part about Mayor Rawlings Blake, quote, "She and her family have made many sacrifices, and I think she's earned the right to pursue other goals," close quote. That from Sheila Dixon. Governor Larry Hogan also put out a statement, quote, "It takes courage and strength to lead one of America's great cities, and Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake stood up and has served the city she loves over the course of 2 decades. I value my working relationship with the mayor and thank her for her service. Our administrations will continue working together to make Baltimore a better and stronger city," close quote. There are some people who will be interested in Governor Hogan saying he values his working relationship with Mayor Rawlings Blake, because some people have called that into question. Let's talk to George in Pasadena. George, welcome to Midday.
Hello there. One thing I'd like to say, that this goes back for years, but then I'll come back to the point of what it means now. I remember calling Mayor O'Malley, and I had the opportunity to bring into Baltimore City a $5 million software program that would have had every person working in Baltimore in the blue-collar endeavor, that their hours would have been accounted for. This was a free service from one of the largest companies in the United States, if not the world. He was very interested, and he says, look, I can't go any further. The head of education has already decided who he's going to go with. Now, they had not taken delivery.
George, I think we need to get back to the announcement of Mayor Rawlings Blake. Can you give me the connection between the story you're telling and her announcement?
Oh, all right. I think that you have a black power going on up there. When you talk about economics, how are you going to ever have economics when these people are not even educated? And when you do, wait a minute, when you get decent teachers up there, they leave. Their lives are threatened. They're actually assaulted. It's not reported. The name of this program, Dan Roderick said he would never go into the city, but he felt because he may be banned from being allowed to have the freedom up there.
Okay, you're taking us pretty far afield. Thanks for calling. John in Ellicott City. You had some thoughts about who may run for mayor.
Yes, my question is, I would like the commentators to give their opinion on, would it be beneficial to the city to have Sheila Dixon, you know, to be the face of the city, given her scandal and trying to, you know, improve the image. Also, I don't, you know, any of those little child horses who are talking about running now, don't seem to excite anybody. And I was just wondering, are they aware of anyone outside of someone like Cummings, who's very experienced, but somebody who could really generate excitement in the city and to change the image of the city?
Well, of course, that is what the campaign will be about, generating excitement, but I'm happy to get some thoughts from anybody here at the table.
Well, the exciting name that's out there, and we haven't seen it entered into the race, of course, is Wes Moore. He's told the known world, actually.
Wes Moore is the
author
of The Other Wes Moore. He's started a for-profit company called Bridge EDU.
He's a very affable guy. He's very personable. He probably does understand that mayor is a verb.
He's never held elective office.
He has not, and that would be the issue, I think, although I'm hearing that he really is close to making an announcement, even though he's denied that that's what he's going to do.
Well, can we assume that this announcement today by the incumbent mayor will pull in, Barry, that's sort of what you were suggesting, mm-hmm. It's going to pull in people who otherwise might not have gotten
in? Well, there's certainly going to be a lot of consideration. The question in my mind is, do any of these people have the managerial abilities to do the job and to do the job well and maybe better than has been done in the past. And, you know, it's a huge question mark for someone like Wes Moore. But then, you know, the public right now is in an anti-politician mood. Witness Donald Trump, witness Ben Carson. So it may well be that a name from the business community or someone like Wes Moore may pop up and suddenly, you know, the public falls in love with that person. And, you know, it's often the political person who people adore who can win, especially in a primary election.
We have quite a few other callers, and some with different points of view than we've been hearing. Robert in Baltimore, you've been holding for a while. Welcome to Midday.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine, how are you?
A couple of things is, I think that you have to commend the mayor because every mayor that has faced a tsunami, from Wade Megan to California's mayor under Rodney King, every time there's something major happens, no administration, no city is prepared to handle it and take it. I'm not saying she was the best, but she did the best that she could. It takes courage to step out. And the pundits that are on your show now are forgetting one thing. She still had more money than anybody else. The power of the incumbency means you just sit still, and she would have pulled it off. But one of your callers says something that really infuriates me. Part of the problem with Baltimore is that the city fathers, as he referred to them, who are not residents of Baltimore have been the ones that have determined who and what our leadership should be, like shows like this, who cast doubt on saying the ones that are out there now are without charisma and charismatic leadership. You've got people like Kathy Pugh out there. And certainly to your pundit, we're not going to let the city fathers put people like Wes Moore out there as you all are setting the radio stage for him to be the candidate of choice. The mayor did the right thing by stepping out. She ought to be applauded and not attacked, and not talking with you all. The community would have risen behind her in time and stopped saying that what's out there doesn't have charismatic leadership. That's media setting the stage for its choice, along with, as you call them, the handpicked fathers.
Robert, I appreciate that point of view. I want to add Jeffrey from Baltimore in the conversation. Also, Jeffrey, you've been holding for a while.
Oh, hello.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you. And I think the last caller made a very good point. But I think on Stephanie Rawlings and Blake not running, look, there's always been a struggle in Baltimore between what I've said of the citizens who live in the city, largely in poverty, you know, who had blue-collar jobs until, I think, William Donald Schaefer's era. And just like the last call indicated, you know, the radio station, you know, heralds him as this great lover of the city. But what happened was he built things like Harbor East, Canton, and that meant people who were better off, who did not live in the city, were able to move into the city in these little small pockets. And the people who lived in the city who had blue-collar jobs that were run out of town, you know, pretty much fell in poverty, and that rate increased. And so there's been a schism between those two groups. So, you know, radio stations like this and others that have been like, the old Mayor Schaefer was great. They've been really ignoring the fact that with new organizations like Leaders of a Beautiful Struggle, the UGM Progressive People Party, and Baltimore United, they're now looking at, you know, the government should create an environment for people who live in the city and not create pockets of tax havens for people who do not live in the city so that they can live lovely in the city. You know, this mayor was elected from the people who live in the city and not from those on the outlying county. And that's the underlying discussion that's taking place and that you don't hear, like, on radio stations like this. And now, my final point, the last caller was right. Those other people, they've been talking, and a lot of things run under the radar, so, you know, you don't hear. So, you know, that person who was saying there's no charismatic leader, well, watch. And so, you know, we're now beginning to sharpen this discussion, and people in Baltimore are beginning to realize, why should I vote like, you know, lifestyles of the rich and famous? I can watch people live lovely, and I'm still in poverty, and that makes me feel better. And that's the kind of attitude that's beginning to percolate up through the city and change the whole dynamics of the election. And Stephanie Rawlings Blake, she just didn't know it. She didn't know what to do about it or how to handle it. And I think that's the problem.
So, Jeffrey, you think that you think there are currents that we're missing, but you think she was plugged into some currents that told her it was time for her to take an exit?
Well, you know, I suspect, she's a very smart lady. There was nothing that indicated that she could win short of locking up all of her opponents. So, you know, I mean, and I don't think she wanted to stand and be totally embarrassed. But, you know, people, those currents that we don't hear about, the grapevine, it was evident. There was no way, like I said, short of a dictatorship, there was no way she was going to get reelected.
I appreciate your calling, Jeffrey. What do these pundits, even though you've been chastised for your punditry, Kenny, I exempt you, you're a reporter. What's your reaction?
It's all relative.
You're welcome to join in.
Well, I certainly don't reject what either one of these gentlemen had to say. And, I we all need to continually refresh ourselves and our views about what leadership requires. But, you know, there are some basic things, and I think it would be wrong not to point them out. You know, it's a $2.5 billion business that somebody has to run. I mean, one of the arguments I've heard for Wes Moore is that he is a charismatic guy, and he's the sort of person that may represent the future, and somebody who is bright. Now, he's inexperienced, but he's bright, and he might be the sort of person that can attract the kind of talent that you need to make the city operate and to get it on a forward-looking plane.
Well, I think we have a long way to go, and we're just starting this discussion. There's going to be a lot of names thrown out, new people entering the race, and they're going to have to be judged on whether they're capable of running the city, whether they have the appeal or charisma to get the city back on its feet again after the civil unrest. I think, you know, one of the things that concerns me a lot is that in recent elections, people have not registered to vote in the city in large numbers, and people have gone to the polls in Baltimore City in terribly small numbers. So the question is, who's actually going to be electing the next mayor? You know, it may not be the people who are calling in from Ellicott City, et cetera. But who is going to be electing the mayor? Because we don't have a good handle on who actually goes to the polls or who even bothers to register to vote. The turnout in Baltimore City in recent elections has been one of the worst in the state.
Is there any reason to think that the incumbent taking herself out of the race, and if you're right about that, encouraging more new faces to put themselves forward, do you think that's going to raise voter turnout? Will that energize the electorate to care more about this?
I don't know if anything's going to energize them for an April primary election. We have rarely had a primary election that counts as much as this one that early. Springtime voting draws a very small number of people to the polls, historically at least.
And that really is the decision. You can be part of this conversation. Call us at 410-662-8780 or send us an email at midday@wypr.org. We're going to take a break, but as we leave, I'd like to listen to a minute or so of the mayor's presentation this morning, sort of the most personal part of it, as I heard it, where she explains that there's some relief to her taking a break from 20 years of elective office because of the time she'll be able to spend with her daughter.
I want to say that taking a pause from nearly 20 years in elected office serving this city does not leave me without a little bit of a sense of excitement and anticipation as I think about my daughter entering her teen years, her approaching her high school years. And if she's anything like me, there will be a challenge. So the thought of having more time to spend with her and my husband it was important to me. I think he's hoping that maybe I'll start to cook at some point. I've had conversations with a few leaders who have served in similar positions that I have, and one of the things that stuck with me from those conversations is one of them said very emphatically that their biggest regret was missing their children growing up by their life of public service. And that weighed very heavy on me. We're working very hard to reform the police department. I'm working very hard with the Department of Justice to cooperate with the Patterns and Practice investigation. That is critically important. We have to get our city through 6 separate trials that will be held here in Baltimore. Nobody planned for that.
But didn't you just make yourself a lame duck?
No. I made myself a person who's committed to doing the work of the city. Without the cloud of campaigning, I have chosen to govern rather than to campaign, and I hope the public sees it for that.
Welcome back to Midday. I'm Sheila Cast here, sitting in for Dan Rodericks. And we just heard Mayor Stephanie Rawlings-Blake rejecting the idea that she had made herself a lame duck, but I'm interested in what our listeners think about that. They can be part of they can give me an answer at 410-662-8780. Also interested in what you guys here in the studio think of it. I've got with me Fraser Smith, WIPR senior news analyst, Kenny Burns of the WIPR reporting staff, and Barry Raskovar, political commentator and blogger at Political Maryland. Is she a lame duck now?
Yes, I think she is. And I think that obviously she's going to be the mayor for 15 months. The governor certainly knows that, and that's part of why he said what he said about the relationship, however strained it may be between the two of them. It's going to exist for 15 months. But nobody knows what the future is going to be, and that's going to be hanging in the air over all of this as we move forward. And she's not going to be as strong as an incumbent with another term. Let's just say that.
Well, and so let me insert here the email we got from Elise in Baltimore, who says, why not resign now and let new leadership step in?
Well, the new leadership would be the city council president.
And Jack Young.
Jack Young. And Jack Young and the current mayor have not gotten along on so many issues. I doubt that she'd turn the city over to him.
Good point. Okay. Another email from Kim E. I'm not sure where Kim is from. Is this really the mayor taking a knee? The phrase we heard former police commissioner Anthony Batts use last week to describe the police department pausing after the unrest in Baltimore. Is this really the mayor taking a knee? Baltimore City is a mess on many levels. High taxes, high crime, poor schools, intense pockets of poverty, and still relatively segregated. It was a mess when she took over, and I wonder if she just figured she would just leave the never-ending chaos for someone else to clean up. I do not think she did a particularly bad job as mayor. However, everyone is happy to heap all the woes of the city on her. So I think she will just exit and get a nice job elsewhere.
It might be a fair point to say, keep in mind, she was roundly criticized before the April riots took place. There were a number of people that kept saying, at least to me, I can't wait till Sheila runs again. Sheila Dixon, the former mayor. And then think about it. It just started piling on ever since the riots, and probably at a faster pace than it normally would between the relationship with herself and law enforcement. Speaking of which, FOP President Gene Ryan issued a statement that I'll read the entire thing. It says, rank and file in city leadership must always work as a team so that Baltimore is a place people want to live, work, and visit. We look forward to leadership that makes partnering with public safety a priority. So you still have that relationship, that rocky relationship between City Hall and the police union still happening.
But that may be true in any mayoral administration going forward. I don't think the next mayor is going to want to be seen as being dictated to by the FOP. So, this announcement by the mayor brings up, for me, a very interesting point, which is maybe the problem is the way we elect our public officials. Maybe we should do it, say, the way Mexico does it, with a 6-year term, one 6-year term for its president. so that you give the elected official time to actually manage and try to tackle these problems that seem insoluble and make some headway without worrying about fundraising and getting reelected and pleasing the electorate. That's missing here. But I think Mayor Rawlings-Blake came right up against that question this time and decided, no, I cannot juggle these things simultaneously. I cannot go out and be a huge fundraiser and spend every evening trying to win votes and at the same time run this city and manage it and try to get on top of some of these terrible problems.
Quick question that occurred to me, Kenny, when you're talking about the reaction of the police union, the mm-hmm. Fraternal Order of Police. Obviously, it was Mayor Stephanie Rawlings-Blake who fired the previous police commissioner and put Kevin Davis in place as interim commissioner. That is his title. Should Kevin Davis just be looking for another job now? I mean, is there any chance that anyone who would be elected to succeed Mayor Rawlings-Blake would keep Kevin Davis in place as police commissioner?
That's going to depend on his performance, I think. And he certainly does have a lot on his plate. Obviously, there's 6 trials coming along.
Yeah, but at the same time, that depends on whoever succeeds Mayor Rawlings-Blake. Because remember, Kevin Davis was the police chief in Anne Arundel County, popular police chief, might I add, when Steve Hsu, who is the current county executive, was campaigning for the job. And despite every person that, and I followed him when he was going door to door in a couple of places in Anne Arundel last year. Steve Hsu.
Uh-huh.
And whenever the subject came up, people loved the police chief. They loved the job Kevin Davis was doing. And remember, he took over after a tumultuous time in Anne Arundel County. Yet, before Steve Hsu took office, he asked them to step aside.
We're taking calls here on Midday at 410-662-8780. We're talking about the announcement by Baltimore Mayor Stephanie Rawlings-Blake that she will not seek reelection. Greg from Butchers Hill, you've been holding a long time. You've got something, an analogy to draw with the wire. Can you do it quickly?
Yes, I have to agree with Barry and with some of the other correspondents about the importance of management ability. And I think that the mayor's decision just reemphasizes how intensely difficult it is to govern a city the size of Baltimore with all of its problems. And although I spend a lot of my time explaining to out-of-towners that Baltimore is not the same thing as the Wire, I can't help but be reminded of the speech that outgoing Mayor Royce gave to Tommy Carchetti on his way into the mayor's office about how all the various constituencies would show up with a plate of stuff and insist that the mayor eat it. And I have to sympathize with the mayor. This is an intensely difficult job.
I appreciate your call, Greg. Thanks a lot. Let's talk to Alan. Picked up on the Alan from Charles North in Baltimore. Picked up on the question of whether or not Mayor Rawlings-Blake is a lame duck. Alan, welcome to Midday.
Thanks for taking my call. I'd like to echo what I just heard Barry Raskovar say about whether or not she will be a lame duck. I think I'm willing to take her at her word that absent the requirement to campaign and the constant sniping she would face from the other candidates in the race, I think with that pressure off, she has the opportunity to govern and not to worry about the fundraising and the, taking positions that are maybe politically positive but or politically popular, but not necessarily good for the city long term. I'll take her at her word on this.
Alan, I appreciate your call. I want to read a couple of emails. I'm being taken to task by Tom in Lutherville for not doing what Dan has done very often, and that is challenge the version of Mayor Rawlings-Blake saying it was important to have a space to destroy. Tom writes, I have to express my dismay that no one on the panel challenged the caller who brought up the what he says is a myth that the mayor was complicit with the riot in April. Seriously? Can we please put the urban legend away for good? At the very worst, what she did was make a misstatement in the heat of the moment, not a shining moment, but nothing like the claims of opponents and haters that are still trying to make it out, nothing like the claims the opponents and the haters are still trying to make it out to be. I certainly felt the caller was parsing the words. I didn't hear the caller saying she was complicit in the riot, and since Dan has corrected the record often on the words, I didn't jump in, but Kenny wants to jump in right now.
Yeah, I was actually there. That took place the Saturday night before Freddie Gray's funeral.
Yes.
And it was an unfortunate misspeak. She has since corrected it herself. What she was trying to say was, while we gave enough room for protesters to express their First Amendment rights legally, at the same time, we unfortunately gave those who wished to destroy room as well. That's what she was trying to say, but it came out wrong, and it was a long day and a long night, especially if you were seeing the pictures, and I was down there that evening as well, of what took place by Camden Yards.
And I don't know that we'll, I mean, the question of whether a public official is allowed to correct a misstatement is something that the voters decide, well, or in this case.
They've been doing that since that night.
I think we have time for one more call. Dorothy in Baltimore, welcome to the show.
Hello. Yes, I just want to say quickly that I'm always disenchanted when it comes time to vote because it seems that we as Baltimoreans, well, not Baltimoreans, those of us who live in Baltimore and the Baltimoreans tend to vote the same kind of way, more with emotions than with common sense. I have a saying that if people show you who they are, believe them. And we've had people to show us who they are, and yet we're considering voting for them again or letting them run again and say the same old things. We vote on a patronage level. We vote on a friendship level. We vote on a family level. It's not sensible. I came here a number of years ago. I had no knowledge of Baltimore politics, and so I gradually learned that this person is related to that person, this person is that family or the other, and that was generally the way that people voted, and it has been disastrous. My favorite mayor was the one who died, the one who had no children. He had no family. Everything that he did was for this city.
William Donald
and we saw the results of that. We don't have that anymore. And I'm just so afraid that we are going to make that mistake again. I'm hopeful that we have learned and that people will sit down and think very carefully before they vote for certain people who have shown us who they are, yet who are running again. And that is the temerity of people that bothers me, that they're so bold as to continue to do that as if everybody has a short memory. And sometimes I think that's the case.
Dorothy, I appreciate your call. Let me just quickly mention, as we have for most of this hour, different viewpoints. Kathy from Catonsville says, okay, I'm a Baltimore County resident, so I'm watching this from about a mile outside the city line. I think this is a loss for the city of Baltimore. Mayor Rawlings-Blake came into the job during Snowmageddon and did great. During the riots, she was in an impossible situation and had many bad options. The mayor is smart and thoughtful. I hope she has a political future. That's Kathy from Catonsville, whereas Valeria from Baltimore says, it's time to clean house at City Hall. There are too many incumbents in the council as well as on the executive side. We need to amend our charters and laws so that all the money is not controlled by three people at the very top, which are the mayor, the controller, the solicitor. Ridiculous. I think everyone down there is out of touch with their constituents. It's time for more third-party candidates at all levels of government. We're down to just a minute. Does somebody here in the studio have a closing thought? I'm seeing silence.
Well, I think, you know, we have an opportunity now to look ahead rather than look backwards, which is a real positive. And you have to credit the mayor with giving us that opportunity.
Barry Raskovar, thank you for being here with us. Also, thanks to Fraser Smith, WIPR senior news manager, and Kenny Burns of the WIPR reporting staff, and to everybody who called and sent us emails. We're grateful for the discussion. Lunch today for our guests is provided by Joe Squared. That's all for Midday Friday at 1. Time for Midday Eats with Hong and Shields. Are you vegan or vegetarian looking to add more fruits, vegetables, and exotic grains to your diet? Midday Eats goes vegan after the NPR newscast. Stay with us.